Well, greetings, friends. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it's good to be with you again this Wednesday night in our live Bible classes. And these classes are coming to you from the facilities of the Midwest Center for Truth through the ministries of CMI Bible Research Center. And as a production of CMI Audio Video Systems Network, which is via the internet worldwide. We're glad to be with you tonight, and we just greet you again in the name of the Lord Jesus. I have just returned from Costa Rica, where I was with our brother Jason Henderson. He met me there, and we were with our fellowship there through all of last week and over the weekend, and just had a tremendous time in fellowship, in sharing, and in the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a tremendous privilege we have in gathering together as the body of Jesus Christ. While I was there in one of our classes, in one of our homes, we have had for some time there home Bible groups scattered throughout that valley where San Jose is located, and it's a very large area. It takes some of those classes are an hour and a half, or at least, you know, from one another. But they meet throughout the week. We had classes Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Then we had the whole group gathered together in the place where the whole church meets. And we were there with them, most of the day Saturday and Sunday as well, and then we came back on Monday. I got in pretty late Monday night, and I'm leaving tomorrow for Tazewell, Virginia, for you who may be in that area, and also for some of you that I know are watching tonight. I will not be in Boone, North Carolina this next week. And the reason is, Brother Miller called me, and he's having, which may turn out to be a little esophagus operation, but at least a procedure, and that's coming up this next week. And he just didn't want anything to hinder our gathering there, our meeting there. Several people have been real anxious for this gathering. Brother Bruce has been, and frankly, I have been as well. So we have agreed to just set it up a couple of weeks, and I'll be getting word out via email and also by our live classes here as to when I'll be in Boone. It'll probably be toward the end of this month, the end of May, or the very beginning of June. And we'll let you know. I favor the end of May, but we'll see how that works out. But Brother Bruce just wanted to make sure that he wouldn't have to miss any part of it. And of course, that's, you know, I certainly didn't want him to have to do that. So I will be in Tazewell this weekend, but from Tazewell, then I'm coming back here. Frankly, after just making this trip to Costa Rica And we had an extremely busy schedule there with the Lord's body. I'll be glad to be back here at the Research Center for 2 or 3 weeks before having to start out again anyway. So those are the announcements. One other announcement that we have tonight came in and by email, and then that was the information of that, not the email itself, but was relayed to us here just before class time. And it's from Kim Jones, who is a part of our fellowship in Tennessee. And Kim has requested prayer and that we would make it known in the class tonight for a person that she knows. Now, I don't have any more information. I don't have any more information than that. The person's name is Justin. So that's really about all. And the situation is cancer. But I don't know really if there was more explanation in the email than that or not. And because of our being online here and everything, my computer is I'm not able to get online on it right now. But we do know that and Kim is very faithful in requesting prayer and in praying for those who have a need. So she's requested that we pray with her for Justin, who has cancer. It really doesn't make any difference where. Cancer is serious wherever you have it. So remember this prayer request with Sister Kim, and we'll be praying for Justin. In fact, Lord, we just thank you now. And we just ask and we reach out as your body to this person. Would you just minister by your Spirit, I pray? Minister to the need that is there. Minister, Lord, by the Spirit of life. Minister by the life-quickening Spirit. And meet the need in the life of this man. We thank you to do it, Lord. We simply release thy Spirit for this purpose. And as your body, we reach out for this purpose, that you would minister to this need that has been presented to us. And we thank you to do it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was talking to you about the privilege of our gathering together. We'll be dealing tonight with extreme reconciliation. I was visiting with my chiropractor today, visiting with him, and that I had to have a chiropractor treatment. And after it was over, we were talking about the ministry that goes out from here, and particularly where I had just been and where I'm just about to go. And then I mentioned that we had a live class tonight, but they were asking, what are you teaching tonight? And I said, extreme reconciliation. Now, that takes a little explanation, but that's where we are. We've been dealing with extreme reconciliation, and I talked to them about it for a little while, for some time. We'll come back to that, but there's something that I want. I told you, we're privileged to be able to gather together. And I was sitting in a home with a fellowship group when this thought really struck me there in Costa Rica. But it was the same with every gathering that we had, but it was sitting around a large table in this home. that it really, the Lord began to deal with me about the importance of our gathering. And for a reason that many believers just do not understand. The verse that came to me, or the 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, not just the verse, but the whole setting here. But I'm just going to read you a couple of verses. And it is one phrase here, and the reality that is bound up in that phrase, in those few words, that I want you to think about. I will tell you this, the reality that is bound up here in these verses is the reason that I go wherever it is that I go. It's the reason that I meet with the Lord's body and have done so for many years in every part of the world. And many times it has been in homes. One of the most precious gatherings, one of the most remarkable gatherings that I have ever personally had was in a home in communist China. A brother by the name of Brother Daniel Chung was there. He and I were there together. And we met in a home of a pastor and his wife. He had been separated from his wife and sent to the extreme north parts of China, while she was restricted to the southern part of China because of their belief. And yet, in hazardous to his life, he had made this trip into the southern parts of China. And we had been notified that he wanted to meet us during that time. And it worked out with much difficulty. We were able to do that in this very small little house. And we met with him in the attic. It was just enough room for the ones of us that were there, four people, to sit together. I have a recording of that meeting to this day. And that meeting was made over 20 years ago. But I remember the significance of that meeting. It is the significance every time there is a gathering together into the name of the Lord Jesus. When the Lord began to impress this upon me, and it had been years ago, I quit having church meetings. Oh, I've been in a lot of gatherings, and what other people would call church meetings. I quit having church meetings. I quit, in my own heart and mind, quit going to church and quit having church meetings. We say that we have Bible conferences. And we use the term Bible conference. To me, they're altogether something else. I know we have teaching there, we have preaching and all of that. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not shaken in mind or troubled And he goes on with that and through that. But here's the point. It is the basis. We beseech you, brethren. And Paul could have said, we beseech you by the grace of God, or we beseech you by sound teaching, or we beseech you by the truth as it is in Christ. But he didn't. He said, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by our gathering together unto Him. This became, I remember at the time, it became a very exhaustive search to me, bringing into itself many of the verses in the New Testament that deal with the coming of the Lord. The verses in the New Testament that deal with the appearing of the Lord, which is the same thing as the coming of the Lord. And the different Greek words that are employed in the translation of the word coming and the word appearing as well. Because it's not necessarily the same Greek word wherever the English word coming is used. In many cases, it is the Greek word parousia, which means the revealed presence of the Lord. And in other cases, it's translated as something else. But in every case without exception, it has to do with Christ in you. It has to do with the activity of the Spirit of God in direct relation to Christ in you. His appearing, His coming. And here, it has to do, the word coming, with one who is present. One who is present, making himself known manifestly. The coming of the Lord. And by our gathering together unto Him. Do you realize what our gatherings together, I don't mean just coming into a building. I mean, when that gathering, when those that are gathered together into His name, where it's a genuine gathering in the knowledge of the Lord, where it is a gathering in spirit, in truth, are in His name, into His name. Do you realize that the very purpose of such a gathering and the very work of the Spirit in such a gathering is that there might be made manifest in that gathering the coming of Jesus Christ. That we realize that when we sit down, whether it's with two or three believers or multiply that number as much as you want. Because it's not about how many, it's about the measure of Christ that is there in each of them. It's not about what kind of a building, it's about in whose spirit, in whose name. It's not about the name on the outside of the building, it's about the name revealed in those that are there in that gathering. It becomes the expectation of everyone there to see the Lord. That the Lord should be revealed. And not only revealed, the word apocalypse, but that there be a very manifest presence of the Lord. Not manifest in the tables and the chairs and in the walls of the building. Manifest in the true house that's gathering there. Manifest in the soul. Manifest in the body. Manifest in the true house of God. That there be a true manifesting of His glory. And it is in that reality that Paul says, we beseech you, brethren, and he uses that, by the very coming of the Lord. Paul knew the Lord was in every one of those to whom he was writing. But we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of that Lord who is in you, by the revealing of Him, by His showing Himself to be where He is, by there being a manifestation in you, not one that the natural eye necessarily could even see, but that His glory be made manifest. And that everyone there knows that we have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord in this place. We have seen the Lord at this time. By our gathering together unto Him. And I begin to realize, can there possibly be any greater reason for the gathering together of the body of Jesus Christ than the true coming of the Lord? In whatever aspect, whether it's the manifest presence of the Lord, whatever work of the Spirit that takes place in our souls, whether it is the Lord there in His appearing, dividing in our hearts the quick and the dead. Yes. Whether it is the consuming fire of His presence devouring in my soul that which is not Christ. Whether it is the brightness of His appearing, and there's a Greek word for each of these that's translated coming. Whether there's the brightness of His appearing that literally works a judgment in my heart, uncovering the hidden thing and consuming it with the light of His presence, whatever the work of the Spirit, but that it be a true work of the Spirit in our soul by the coming of the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying? Well, I'm not going to go on in this as a teaching tonight. I didn't mean it to be one. But our gatherings, Israel's gatherings were on that basis. Three times a year they were commanded together. And that's all of Israel now. All of Israel. Three times a year. And it was for the feasts of the Lord. You know this. And each of those feasts were different one from another. And yet, they were all the same. They were all the same. One was Passover, and it differed from Pentecost, and Pentecost differed from Tabernacles, and yet God saw them as one feast of Israel. Do you know what their expectation was when they gathered? Those gatherings by demand had to be at a pre-chosen time. They couldn't just decide, okay, let's do it. It had to be in a chosen place, not just any place, at a chosen time. And they had to be in that chosen place at that chosen time. The place and the time had to come together. The place and the time had to come together. And there they gathered before the door of the tabernacle, and at that time it was called the tabernacle of the congregation. And they gathered before the door of the tabernacle. In what expectation? In the expectation that the Lord would appear. Because He said it. They shall do this, they shall do that at this time, in this place, and I will appear. Well, the appointed place and the appointed time has been fulfilled in Christ. Our gathering together, wherever it is on earth, is as those who are in Christ. But their gathering had to be in His name, in the acknowledgement of the name. Now, hon, that's not just some name, and it's not just some place. It is the gathering together of those who are drawn by the Spirit of God. And the gathering is not in the name of an organization or a tangible place, but in the name that is revealed in us, the name of the Lord. And when even two or three are so gathered, did not the Lord say, I am there? Hon, the Lord is come in that place. And our gathering is unto Him. And our gathering is in the expectation of His appearing. It puts a new face on our gatherings. It puts a new motivation in our hearts concerning our gatherings. And it brings those gatherings together in one dynamic, eternal purpose. Those gatherings are for nothing less than the coming, the appearing, and the increase of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I shared that with that group there in Costa Rica, and we continued to talk about it for the rest of the week. And well, it became the purpose for the whole trip. An acknowledged purpose for the whole trip. That we could, as His body, through our gathering, manifest in that place His coming. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. All right, I want to read to you tonight for the time that we have left. Romans, just to pick up on a verse there concerning reconciliation. In Romans 5, we've read this several times, but let's just refresh it to our memories. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, please notice it doesn't just say when we were sinners. When we were enemies, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be complete, or we shall be made whole. The word here is in the English is saved, S-A-V-E-D. In the Greek, it is made whole or made complete by His life, by His indwelling person. Wherein is our completion, the completion of our salvation? It's in Christ. The completion of our salvation is in Christ. But when does that affect us? When Christ is in us. You understand, hon, that the full work of the cross is complete in Christ. The question is Christ in you? Have you been born from above? Yes. Is Christ in you? And not only that, but if Christ is in you, is He being revealed in you? Let me put that another way. Are you walking in the light as He is in the light? It's impossible for you to do that except He is revealed in you. The word revealed is akin to the word light. Light. In Him was life and is life because He is the life. But that life is the light. You understand what I'm saying? Reconciled by the death of His Son. Yes. Have we come to the much more? We're talking about extreme reconciliation. And extreme reconciliation is much more. It is, in fact, Christ living in me. I want you to look at that verse again now. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, and by you and I becoming partakers with Him in that death. In other words, we die. If when I died with Christ, I ceased to be an enemy of God. When I died, I was reconciled. Much more through Christ who liveth in me am I made whole. Then what is reconciliation to its extreme? Reconciliation to its extreme goes beyond not being an enemy of God. It goes beyond the fact that I died. Reconciliation to the extreme. Reconciliation to our completement, to you and I being made complete. Is realized in Christ living in us. I found that Galatians 2:20 is the summation. It's the substance and the summation of reconciliation. You know what Paul says there? He starts out saying, I am crucified with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Well, hon, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. I am crucified with Christ. That's Paul coming to realize his reconciliation as being crucified with Christ. But here in Romans he says, however, much more, being crucified with Christ, much more, being reconciled by the death of his Son, much more, being crucified, I live. Yet, not I, Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live in this earthen vessel every single day, I live in the faith or the acknowledgement, the understanding of the Son of God. I live in the understanding of the Spirit of God. I live understanding it is not me. It is Christ. It is not soul life, but it is the life of my soul. It is Christ who liveth in me. Oh, hallelujah. Now that's the much more. Much more we shall be saved by His life. Much more we shall be made complete, made whole by His life, by Christ living in us. So the realization of reconciliation is not I, but Christ. I am crucified. When? Right now. Right now. The cross being not simply a 2,000-year-old point in history, but a present reality of my soul right now. Right now. The cross is both the power and the wisdom of God working in me right now. I am crucified with Christ right now. And yet, by the grace of God, there's a much more. There's a much more than the enemies being dead. There's a much more than me being dead. And the much more is Christ being alive. And not just being alive somewhere, being alive in me. The much more, Christ liveth in me. Now, how much more is that? How absolutely extreme is that? Well, now, John 11. Let's see just how extreme it is. How unlimited. How beyond our ever fully, perfectly comprehending. Oh, hon, I'll be taken out of this body. Still comprehending the reality of Christ. I'll be comprehending the reality of eternal life eternally. John 11. You know this. The chapter Lazarus being raised from the dead. But it's not about Lazarus, is it? Oh, I know he's involved here. So is Mary, so is Martha, so are the disciples. I know what takes place here as an event. I think that I understand what it is speaking of. And that you and I are now become partakers of what it is speaking of. But who is it that is the center here? The substance here? If this chapter is about resurrection, then who is it about? That's the question that Martha had, and the Lord having to correct her. That resurrection, yes, your brother shall live, but it's not about him. In the resurrection, it's not about him. Verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection, and the life. He that believeth, now this is not just giving the consent of our mind, our intelligence. No, honey. This is something that has to be worked in our soul by the Holy Spirit. This word believeth is an ever ongoing work of God in our soul. In me. And the word in here is important. Don't let anyone tell you it isn't. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? We'll just take just a little part of this for right now. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, let's join this to what we've been talking about. I am crucified with Christ. That means I am dead. Nevertheless, I live. Now, Paul, then that means you're alive. No, I'm dead. But I live. Well, then that means that you're alive. No, I am dead. And we could go on and on with this. Well, then what are you talking about? You mean you were one time, you were crucified, or you just kind of associated with His crucifixion? No, I mean the awareness of my soul through the revealing of the indwelling Son is that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Then how is that, Paul? Not I. Well, if it's not you, then who is it? Christ liveth in me. Come on, hon. I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection of the dead is not the dead living again. It is Christ living in me and in you. You understand? Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. How? Because the resurrection, my resurrection is in me. Not the resurrection of me, but my resurrection and my life is in me. I have come by Him from being dead in sin to being dead to sin with Him, that He may live in me. But in no case is it I, Paul, or I, JW, or I, whoever, living. No, no. Now, hon, you've got to get a hold of this. The life of my soul is Christ. I'm not just a reconciled enemy of God. The Son liveth in me. You understand? Not just a saved sinner. The Son. The extremeness of salvation is that we're not just pardoned for past sins, now have a chance to do better. No, grace is much more than that. Grace, in fact, is Christ living in me and living in you. Reconciliation to the extreme, then, is a complete salvation. But who is the completeness of that salvation? It's the person. Listen to me. The person in whom our salvation is complete is the very salvation who liveth in us. Our salvation is the person himself. Whose body are we? We're the body of Christ. We're not the body of a resurrected Adam. We're not the body simply of a better humanity. We're the body of the indwelling Son of God, who says, I am the resurrection. For you see, hon, the resurrection of the dead is not really the dead living again. It is Christ living in the dead who have heard His voice and received Him as such. He is the resurrection of the dead. He is the only resurrection there is. He is the life. And He is the only life that there is. He is the way. He is the truth. Come on, darling. How many doors are there? I am the door. There's just one. There may be 900 viewpoints on that door, but there is just one door. How many ways? Just one. I'm sure there's thousands of viewpoints on the way, but darling, there is only one. And the Father reveals His Son as being the door, the way, the truth, the life, the resurrection. And it doesn't make any difference how many theologies we have on it or how many viewpoints we've tried to bring into it. It's one Son. And only the Father can reveal that Son to the satisfaction of our soul, and more than that, to the satisfaction of the Father Himself. Oh, hallelujah. Extreme reconciliation, you see. I think each time that we go through a lesson, well, that'll be the end of that, and we'll move on. But it hadn't come to an end yet in my heart and in my soul. Every time I stand before you or every time I open the Scripture, something else with regard to the reality of Christ is there and has to be considered, has to be more than considered, has to be the very reality of faith, the very reality of Christ working in our soul. What is the answer to reconciliation? Resurrection. Who is the resurrection of the dead? Christ Himself living in you. Not I. Christ liveth in me. That, beloved friend, is extreme reconciliation. May the Lord... Now, I know I've said these words again and again and again. But do you know that to me, in my soul, the condition there is right now, I haven't repeated anything. It's new to me every time I stand before you. If these are only a series of Bible lessons, perhaps you and I should go to the Scripture and should stay there until the teaching that is in the Scripture becomes the revealed reality of Christ in our soul. Because that's the purpose of the Scripture and of teaching the Scripture to begin with. That we come to the living Word, that He be revealed, and that He become the light, L-I-G-H-T, of all things in our soul. And then that we walk in the light as He is in the light. My, my, my. Will you walk with me there? Will we walk with one another there? Will we continue to share one with another, gather one with another, grow up together into Him who is the head in all things? Darling, methinks we have a lot of growing to do. And I want to grow up together with you into Him. May the Lord richly bless you. And may we acknowledge that our gathering together is unto and for the expression of the coming of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us in these tonight and in all of our classes. I think, at least I expect, with great expectation, that by next week, no later, we will actively launch CMI 24/7. And it'll not be a little sign on your in your computer screen coming soon, but it will be available to you. So, I'm eagerly looking for that time, but it's been a long, long time coming, and there's been many things that have to be done. But as of yesterday, the only thing was having an internet line brought in, and that is supposed to be done tomorrow. So, I'm thinking this program should be launched no later than next week. It should be up and running for your participation. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you. So, if there's any other way that we can minister to you or serve you, anywhere that you're watching right now, and it could be anywhere in the world. I know some of the places, but I have a feeling that there's many places I'm not aware of. But I'm aware of this. Our whole desire and purpose is toward the Lord's body and those in His body who desire to know Him. How can we be of service to you? You let us know. Amen. All right.